Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word comes to us this morning in the third chapter of Matthew, beginning at the 16th verse. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." This is our text. If you would, take out one of the hymnals and turn in the front of the hymnal to page 325. 325. You'll see there that you're in the small catechism. And specifically, you're in the sacrament of holy baptism. We're going to need that in a little bit. Page 325. I find one of the neat things about getting out Christmas decorations and putting them back away again is, excuse me, sometimes you come across old presents, old things that you had received over the years that had been stuck in closets or maybe up in your attic or down in your basement, things you haven't thought of in years. And you remember how surprised you were to receive that gift. What a wonderful thing it was that Christmas morning. Perhaps even you were overwhelmed, delighted beyond measure, and of course, thankful. Thankful to have been given such a wonderful present. But of course, with most of our presents we receive, even at Christmas, they wear out. Maybe it was stuck in the attic because it now has a hole in it, or it's missing a wheel or something like that. Sometimes we outgrow our presents. Oh, they're nice reminders, but we're not going to go around on our tricycle anymore. Sometimes the new and the better comes along, and it replaces the antique phones that come with one of these dials on them. We can also lose our thankfulness to that gift. We look at it and think, why are we keeping this old thing around? Shouldn't we throw it away? Get rid of it? Isn't it trash? This can also be true of God's miraculous gifts that he gives us too. I talked to the kids about baptism. Now, most of us don't remember our baptism because we were baptized as infants, maybe days old. Our parents brought us to the font. And there, God's word and the water were applied to us. The Holy Spirit came upon us to give us new life, new light, to give us salvation. Faith. Now we learn about it in catechism class, what baptism is and what it's all about. In fact, we're going to review that in a minute. But you know, it's only given once. And it's usually so long ago that it seems like ancient history. But baptism, the sacrament, is the first gift, the gift of infancy, the gift of babyhood, the gift where God makes us his own child. And while it's the first gift given at infancy, it is also a gift to remember, a gift for continual rejoicing, a reason to continually give thanks to God. It is a source to find hope and peace, to be just as amazed and delighted and overwhelmed as you were with some of your other gifts. But this gift, so amazing that the older we get, the more amazed we are, the more mature we become, the more overwhelmed we become at God's grace and God's graciousness in and through baptism. Today we take a look at the baptism of Jesus. We are baptized because we are born sinful by nature. That spiritual life cannot be produced in us, but has to be given to us by God. We need to be born again. That eighth day, that new creation, to be forgiven our sins. Jesus did not need that. That is not why he was baptized. He was baptized to link his baptism and his life to our baptism and our life, so that what he was going to do would be a gift given to us when we are baptized. Do you remember baptism? Maybe you don't remember the act, but let's remember what the words of the small catechism Luther wrote said. Look with me on page 325. I'm going to read the question, and if you're able to, I'd like for you to read the answer. First of all, what is baptism?
Baptism.
Nothing magical about baptismal water. It comes out of the tap, can be in a river. But what makes baptismal water different and special is the Word of God. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God connected His Word to that water, and He connected His promise to that water. Now, second question. What is that Word of God?
Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit."
There Christ gave us the gift of baptism, in which he gives us many more sacred gifts, such as our salvation. What about baptism? What did you receive when God's word and that water were put on your head? Or maybe you were dunked under the water and your baptism. The second part of baptism, what benefits does baptism give? Again, not because it is special water or water that comes from a special place. But God connects himself to that water in the sacrament so that he may convey through that means of grace. Let's look at these. Forgiveness of sins won for us by Christ's life, death, and resurrection. His taking our sin on himself, taking God's punishment, dying in our place, and rising again so he may rescue us from death and the devil. And in baptism to also give us eternal salvation. All we need is faith in those promises of God. And even that, to all who believe, he gives faith. That is his gift too, that cling to the promises of God. Now, what are these words and promises of God?
Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Mark, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned."
Thank you. Sometimes it's easy to become confused about a sacrament. There are some Christians who do not believe in sacraments or what the Scripture teaches about them. Sometimes Christians become superstitious as well. We can nail crosses above our doors at home because we think it will keep the devil out. We can wear crosses for good luck. But This isn't the case with baptism. In the third section of baptism, Luther asks, how can water do such great things?
Certainly not just water, but the Word of God and the wind of water does these things, along with the faith which trusts this Word of God in the water. For without God's Word, the water is just plain water and no baptism. But with the Word of God, it is baptism. That is the life-giving water, rich in grace,
in that simple act, with those simple words, comes the power of God and all the gifts of Christ, and comes new life, an eighth day, a new creation is born at that font. What does such baptizing with water indicate? And where is this written?
St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life.
Luther understood baptism is something that is daily, not just once when we were children, not just infants. If we did things extremely by the book here, our worship service would start actually back out there in the narthex, where I would start with the invocation. Have you ever wondered why we start with the "In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit," the same words spoken in our baptism? It's not to remind us which God we're worshiping. It's to remind us that it is only through our baptism and through God's grace that we may come into His sanctuary, into His presence, and worship and praise Him and receive forgiveness of our sins. That is why each and every divine service we start with that invocation. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To remind us of our baptism. We can relive baptism as we see a child or even an adult baptized. We may not remember ours, but we can remember theirs and the miracle that took place, but so quietly, almost without notice, as the water and the word were poured on us. God was doing a great work. Luther said that even with his daily bath, not that they bathed every day, but I'm sure he washed his hands and face, each time that he washed the dirt from himself, he was reminded of his baptism and the wonderful work that God had done there, washing away his sin, creating a new man and a child of God. Luther suggested that we begin each day with the invocation that this day is another day lived in the grace of God, that we begin each prayer with the invocation to remind us that it is through God's grace that God hears our prayer, to begin each task with the invocation that each task we perform in everyday life is a task done in worship and praise to God for what He has given to us through Christ and in our baptism. And of course, to end each day with that invocation, to hear the words that gave us life as we lay our head down in sleep. To hear God say, "This is my beloved child. With you I am well pleased." Through Christ, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.